This is a message from Embassy Church in Belmore, Sydney. We hope that it's a blessing to you.
Excellent. Oh, I don't feel rejected, Ree. Oh, all that hard work, all those days I've been hinting for somebody to be my armour bearer, and when I get one, I don't want one. Nice to see you, everybody. Am I a bit forward here?
There you go.
That might be better. Just what we need, a complicated reading on a cold, wintry morning. A few weeks ago, I was invited to officiate at a funeral at an Anglican church. And what usually happens when I am asked to speak at an Anglican church is that the Anglican minister rings me, or the Anglican rector rings me and says, "Who are you? What are you going to say?" And that happened. The Anglican rector rang me and asked what liturgy I was going to be saying, what Bible verses I was going to be reading. And I said to him, I hadn't yet spoken to the family, so I'm not exactly sure, which you could hear him sort of gasp on the end of the phone. And he asked me who I was, and I told him that I was a minister. He said, "Where?" I said, "Embassy Church, Belmore, the Pentecostal church." I could almost hear him sigh again. And he said to me, "I want to know what you're going to say." And I said, "Well, what would you like me to say?" He was shocked that I'd asked such a question, being a Pentecostal minister and all. And he said, "Well, that's a very good question. Thank you for asking that. I would like you to talk about Christ, or the resurrected Christ." He didn't say, "I want you to talk about baby Jesus." He didn't say, "I want you to talk about the death of Christ." He said, "I want you to talk about the resurrected Christ." And then just at the end, he put in that barb, "I trust you believe in the resurrected Christ." One Anglican minister to a Pentecostal minister, just in case. After I got over my offence, I said, "Yes, I do believe in the resurrected Christ, and I'm sure I can fit that into my message. Thank you." All went well, just in case you were wondering. But it got me thinking, do I believe in the resurrected Christ? And the short answer is yes, just in case you want to hear a bit of a gasp as well. The short answer is yes, but do I really believe in the resurrected Christ? Do I really, really believe that Jesus rose from the dead and everything that has been accomplished because of that resurrection of Christ? And I'm going to do a little bit of a Jesus type of thing. You know, when he was asking his disciples, you know, "Who do people say that I am?" And they're all throwing things back at him. And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And it's all of a sudden, oh, everyone goes quiet except for Peter, right, who couldn't keep quiet if he tried. And he got the answer right, which was great. But it's like I'm asking myself, do I believe in the resurrected Christ? I want to ask you, do you believe in the resurrected Christ? Do you believe, not that Jesus just died on the cross, when I say just, it's a big deal, and he died, do you believe, of course, that he was born first, and that he was a man, that he lived on this earth? A lot of people believe all of that, but there seems to be a sticking point when it comes to the resurrected Christ. Now, Paul had a bit of an issue in this Corinthian church, which he was the church planter, right? He started the Corinthian church, so he was like a father to them. There was some stuff going on, there was some moral issues, there was ethical issues, but there was also this thinking creeping in. And some of them were the Jewish people, the Sadducees particularly, who didn't believe in the body being resurrected. And a lot of the Greeks, for instance, were being influenced by Plato, and I think they call it Platonic dualism. And the point is about dualism is that we're sort of broken into two parts. So, you know, you've got the good and the evil, and you've got the matter and the non-matter. And you've got, when it comes to human beings, you've got the physical body and you've got the soul. And they didn't believe that the physical body was worth anything. It was the evil. It was the matter, the stuff that God wasn't interested in. It was only about the soul. So Paul was counteracting that. He was speaking against that and saying, let's sort of work back a bit. You might say that our body is worth nothing, but don't you believe in the resurrected Christ? And if Christ was resurrected, then we too will be resurrected. So it's a big question. Do I believe? And if I believe, how does that allow me to act in my life? Do you believe? And if you believe in the resurrected Christ, then what do you do as a result? You might say, well, I'm here on a rainy, awful day, aren't I? Like, that's got to count for something. Maybe. When Paul was speaking, and I asked Heather to read those verses before the main passage, starting from verse 12 to 19, because I think the first 11 verses sort of gives us a little bit of background to the way that Paul was thinking and the way he was introducing this topic, and I think something for us to hold on to. Because how do we believe in the resurrected Christ? It's not something we see every day. I do lots of funerals. I have never seen somebody resurrected at a funeral, right? It would be really creepy. I mean, after the initial shock of the lid flying off, it'd be like, oh, okay, well, I'm happy about this, but I'm really surprised. We don't see it. So it's hard to believe something we don't see very often. It's hard to trust that something's happened in somebody's life and in a time that we have never experienced. So how do we believe in the resurrection? How do we really, really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? And in those first 11 verses, Paul gives his the readers and the people of the church at Corinth a bit of a history lesson. And he talks firstly about the fact that the scriptures spoke about Jesus being resurrected. And then he said that even Cephas, so Peter, he saw Christ afterwards, as well as the disciples. And we know that that included Thomas, who was doubting Thomas, because he didn't believe that Jesus had risen until he actually saw him. And then he says, and then there was hundreds that saw him. And then Jesus revealed himself to the apostles. And then he says, finally, even me. And just goes to show sort of Paul's maybe even self-doubt about himself being a persecutor of Christ. He said, even me, Jesus revealed himself to me. And I think our answer as to whether we believe and how can we believe in the resurrected Christ is in those verses. All of us. We can read the scriptures. So we read the eyewitness accounts of those who saw Jesus after he died, walking through the streets, on the beach with the disciples, all of the things that Paul mentioned, and you can read them. We can believe through faith, which God has given us as we read the scriptures. But we can also believe because of other people that we know of that have experienced Jesus. They've been changed. Their lives have been transformed because of Jesus. Perhaps their physical bodies have been healed. Perhaps their emotions have been changed. Maybe their life was heading one direction in life and they just 180 degrees turned when they met Jesus. We can believe in the resurrected Christ because of others and what they say, just like Paul. But then there's something special that happens. We can believe in the resurrected Christ because Jesus reveals himself to us. It might not be a Damascus experience or Damascus Road experience like Paul, where he was, you know, this bright shining light and this he was blinded as a result and this amazing, miraculous divine exchange with God. It might not be quite like that, but it will be supernatural. It will be different. It will be Jesus revealing himself to us in some way so that we're changed. That Jesus proves to us that he's the resurrected Christ. If Jesus just died, when I say just, I know it's a big deal, but if he only died for us, then he would be just like any other man, a good man, somebody who gave his life for his friends and took the penalty for others, but it finishes in the grave. But he rose again. Anastasy. He rose. The risen Christ. That's the difference. And really, if we don't believe in the resurrected Christ, then we might as well not believe anything. And as Paul says in those last verses, our preaching is in vain. If you can't believe that Jesus has resurrected, then nothing we're saying about the gospel, nothing we're saying about living a good life, nothing we're saying about the power of God is worth talking about. We're just wasting our time. But the truth is that Jesus did raise from the dead. He was raised by the Spirit. And in fact, it says in Romans chapter 8, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies and give us life. Not just eternal life, but life here. Life by the Spirit. An ability to change. An ability to do that 180 degree turn from what we used to be, stuck in our sinfulness and bound up and not being able to move anywhere, stuck. We can now be free because Jesus raised from the dead. That same Spirit is available to you and to me. So when we come to the point of realizing that there's a resurrected Christ, and that, like this Anglican minister said, to his credit, it's probably the most important thing. To talk about at a funeral, or to talk about anywhere, and to know in our hearts as Christians, is that Christ raised from the dead. That is the most important thing. It's okay to know that he died. It's okay to know that he was born. It's okay that he lived a fantastic life and brought healing to many and change to many. That's okay. But because we believe that he's resurrected, it changes everything. And what should our response be? I think our response should be to stand. Anastasy. Sorry, I'm not Greek. To stand. Our response should be enthusiastically to stand, to rise from our seat, to be different. To embrace God, to embrace Jesus, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. That should be our response to this resurrected Christ and to knowing him. There's got to be a life change. Somebody said that the most important thing for a church to be is one, to look at divine truth, to realize divine truth, to study divine truth. They also said nurturing relationships is the reason for the church. Living in community, being together, encouraging one another, to love each other. And the final thing is to fulfill the Great Commission, go into all the world and to make disciples, this mission in the world. Those three things, if they should exist in every church, because that is why the church exists. When I first started studying theology, I'd done a few short courses and bits and pieces, and I wanted to get serious about it, do a Bachelor of Theology or a Bachelor of Ministry, whatever I could find. I tried to find somewhere local in the inner west. So I went outside of the Pentecostal denomination, which my Anglican mate would have been happy about if he'd asked. Anyway, I looked elsewhere, and I went to SNBC, which is at Croydon, and I also rang Moore College. And the reason I didn't go with Moore College, and the only reason, well, I don't know whether they would have accepted me, but the reason I didn't go with Moore College was that they said that at least one of the years of study, which was 3 years, one of the years of study would mean that you had to live in And I was working, I had a young family, that wasn't going to happen. So I went to SMBC. And that's how they used to study the scriptures, right? That's how they used to do it even in Jesus' time. It's like this community of getting together, this mentoring, this coaching, this living in community. And Moore College said to me, the best way to learn theology is in community. And if we are wanting to, if part of our response is to stand to this resurrected Christ and the knowledge of who Jesus is to learn divine truth. And we know that Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14 that I am the way, the truth and the life. So if Jesus is divine truth and we want to get to know Jesus, the resurrected Christ, the best way to do that is in community, is at church, together. It might not be on a Sunday, it might be in Connect Group. It might be in an interest group. It might be when you're just socialising together in your home over a meal. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. But the way to learn about Jesus being the truth, the resurrected Christ, is together. Not in isolation. Can you be a Christian and never go to church? Probably. But it's not the best way. The best way to learn about truth and to encourage our faith is together. Of course, the only way to nurture relationships is part of our response to the resurrected Christ and what God has done. The only way to do nurturing relationships is together, right? That makes sense. You have to be with somebody in order to nurture a relationship, to develop love for one another. But our response, I believe our response to this message of who Jesus is and what he's done, is to say that I am going to develop a relationship of love with people, with others, with people that are like-minded, like me, people that they might be quite different to me, but they love Jesus. They believe in the resurrected Christ. That's our common thing. That's the most important thing, right? So as we have this relationship with God, we then can nurture a relationship together. In fact, it's as we learn about the truth that our nurturing relationships truly are nurturing and loving. Because God, who is love, becomes our example for love. Part of our response to the resurrected Christ is, as we stand, is to say, well, I will love my brother and my sister. Finally, our response should be, I need to make disciples. Making disciples isn't just going out on the street and preaching a message and then walking away and, you know, spreading the seed, you know, thick and just sort of throwing it out there and hoping it misses, gets the target. Often it misses. But this message that we have, this role that we have that was given to us by Jesus in Matthew 28, it's to make disciples, it's to help others understand this risen Christ, to help others believe in something that they've never seen, but they can see it in us. They can realize that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is true and that Jesus rose from the dead because of the life change in us. Really, it's just a continuation of our love and our nurturing relationships, but it's not just to people we know in a safe environment. It's to everybody we meet. It's shining our light. It's having that power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in us. Every day, every moment, every place. Not in a crazy way. Not in a rejecting type of way, but in a real, genuine, loving, careful way. Because the resurrected Christ and believing that is the most important thing we can do. So as Jesus rose, we should rise. We should rise. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we can get a little bit lazy. You know when you've been standing for too long, you want to find a seat. Your back's hurting, your knees are hurting if you're getting old, like me. Standing is tough, even though it's good for you. So we look for a seat. And sometimes I think we sit too often and too long in our faith. We rest. I'm saved, I'm all right. I know the risen Christ, that's all I need. We need to keep learning the truth. We need to keep nurturing relationships. We need to keep loving the world, making disciples. Would you stand with me today? Because I'd like to pray for us. Not just you, me as well, but us. Let's pray. Let's believe that this resurrected Christ will reveal himself to me and us afresh today. That he will be real like never before to us. Now you might be on a bit of a journey. Maybe you don't really believe, you don't know if you believe in the resurrected Christ. Like maybe you haven't talked to enough people, maybe you haven't read the Bible, you don't know those accounts, you haven't talked to somebody who's been changed, or maybe you're just not sure because you haven't seen it. That's very understandable. But I believe that God reveals himself, the risen Christ, to us supernaturally. And I'm going to pray for that today. But for us who do know that truth, who have found Jesus, I'm going to pray that we stand today and we make a difference in the world that we live, passionately following Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul and his words. We thank you for his observation, his recount of the process of being born and dying and then resurrection of Christ. We thank you for that truth. We pray that as we hear it, we believe it. And the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead would quicken our mortal bodies. Give us a passion, a new passion for you, Lord. Give us a new passion for your mission in the world. Give us a new love for one another. Give us a new love for your word. We pray for energy and passion as we stand. In Jesus' name.